You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two on this Friday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Has the MVP already been named? Game hasn't been played. Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Could the MVP be somebody who doesn't even play a game? Doesn't get in for one play? He's the Chiefs trainer, Rick Burkholder. According to Jay Glazer, NFL on Fox insider, the Chiefs trainer, Rick Burkholder, may have saved the Super Bowl for the Chiefs and had this to say on Fox Sports Radio.
Shout out to Rick Burkholder, who is the trainer for the Chiefs, who figured, man, this barber from the Chiefs, let me give him a quick 15-minute PCR test just in case.
Oof.
And got it. Because if he didn't, Mahomes is up next. Like, all these guys wouldn't have been able to play. Rick Burkholder, the trainer of the Chiefs, y'all could tweet this out. Rick Burkholder, the trainer of the Chiefs, saved the Super Bowl by giving that barber an immediate test to find out that he had it and prevented the rest of the team from getting a haircut from this guy. He saved the Super Bowl.
That's Jay Glazer, the Fox Sports NFL insider on Fox Sports Radio. Now, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes was third in line to get the haircut, but if he was, then maybe the Chiefs trainer did save the Kansas City Chiefs. But if they don't test this barber, then everybody gets a haircut. And then what happens? And you probably had 15 to 20 guys waiting to get their haircut. This is what I don't understand. If you know the barber is going to give haircuts and you see Patrick Mahomes is third in line, if I'm a backup offensive lineman, I'm going to say to Mahomes, hey, why don't you start us off here? You got other things to worry about here. Yeah, Paul.
No, this is like one of the flunkies testing the king's food before he eats it to make sure it's not poison. You get a couple scrubs up there and they get their dew busted. You don't want Mahomes.
Well, wait. You make it seem like they brought in this barber and they've never used him before.
We don't know that. We haven't confirmed or denied that.
Mm.
I want a couple, you know, you put the backup fullback in there, fine, if he gets his hair wrecked.
Oh, so you want the barber to get a couple of reps on some backup guys.
Dan, if we brought in a new barber here, would you go first?
Well, if it was a new one, then yes, I would say that I'd have somebody else go before me.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, see.
I'll tell you what, that dude's business would have been finished if he's the barber that tanked the Chiefs back to back, and nobody's going to get a cut there.
He would move to Tampa.
Yeah.
He'd be rolling.
Yes. New location.
Yes, he would. Let's see. We got Tony Dungy who's going to join us coming up. Terry Bradshaw will stop by as well. Yesterday at the end of the show, I dropped a little bombshell when I said that the Denver Broncos were interested in Matthew Stafford, and they were willing to trade Drew Locke to the Lions and also their first-round draft pick, and created a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of fire there in the Broncos camp there, but I stand by what my source told me. Also, I was told yesterday, there's information that's getting out that has to do with Carson Wentz and the Eagles. And follow along with this logic here, because it was reported that the Eagles are receiving calls on Carson Wentz. So who would be leaking that information out? Would it be other teams? No, because then you would have more competition probably and more coverage on Carson Wentz. Could it be the Eagles who are leaking this out? Yes, because I'm wondering if they've had any calls on Carson Wentz. If I want to start a market, this is how I start a market. The Lions started a market with Matthew Stafford. The Lions said, come get him. Let us know. Give us your best offer. And they got the best offer. They got the offer from the Rams. I was told yesterday by a source, no one, underline, has called the Eagles about Carson Wentz. Nobody's called. I think the Eagles want to create a market here. I think they want to see. Now, keep in mind, you brought in a coach whose job is to help fix Carson Wentz. Right? Nick Sirianni comes over from the Colts. His job is to fix Carson Wentz. If his job is to fix Carson Wentz, then why would you be taking phone calls? Now, do you get calls and then you hang up on them immediately? Do you entertain the GM or whoever it might be, personnel director who's calling about this. I think the Eagles are trying to create a market, but in the meantime, they want to fix Carson Wentz. And they might have to just fix Carson Wentz, because right now, from what I was told yesterday, nobody's calling about Carson Wentz. But if I got somebody who's expensive and damaged goods, you know, Jared Goff is expensive, but he's not damaged goods. And he's good, not great. And as strange as it may sound, Jared Goff may be more of a sure thing than Carson Wentz right now. But I don't know what I have with Carson Wentz. He didn't do well with competition. He didn't do well with criticism. He wasn't considered a great locker room guy. Teammates said things about him. I don't know who I have here. Does he have talent? He did. But I don't know who he is now. You know, with Jared Goff, he got an injured thumb. It's not like he blew out his knee. And was he going to keep his job with the Rams if he doesn't? They don't bring in Matthew Stafford? Maybe not. Probably not. But I got a guy who is, what, 26 years of age? All right. I would feel more confident with that. And you keep Jared Goff for 2 years. And then after that, you can let him go and it doesn't cost you a penny. Carson Wentz, I don't know. I have no idea. But I was told yesterday that the Eagles have not received calls on Carson Wentz. That's why they said they're receiving calls, because they'd like to receive some calls. Yes, Eagles apologist McLovin.
I got to tell you, the city's excited. They want Hurts bad. They always this is a town that loves to back up.
Well, they have him.
They want Carson out. They want Jalen Hurts starting. Yeah. I read a lot yesterday.
You know, if you go back and look at Jalen Hurts' numbers, as much as he gave them a lift, they weren't great numbers.
That's how Philly works. It's always the backup.
Yeah. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. The government's top infectious disease expert, Anthony Fauci, recommends people don't have Super Bowl parties this year. Wants to make sure we slow the spread of coronavirus. I understand controversial for some people, but for hardcore football fans like myself, I think you have to admit it. Not going to a Super Bowl party sounds pretty good to me. I didn't need Dr. Fauci to help me, but hey, I can always fall back on that. Don't have to go to a Super Bowl party. Yes! Super Bowl parties remind, you know, some people that, how did I get around these folks? People who don't care about football, but they want to be at the party. And they want to tell you what they had at the party, where the party was. Commercial comes on, you'll get the shh, 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 shh. I don't know if you've been held captive by one of those parties before. I went to one, and I had flown back from Atlanta and watched the Patriots and the Falcons. And I watched with a bunch of Patriot fans. And, of course, it's 28-3 and at halftime. And it was very somber. It wasn't any fun. And I said to my wife, I said, why don't we get going? She goes, it's only halftime. I go, I know, but let's just go. And I said, let me just go home, watch it at home. All right? And I liked the guy who hosted the party. It was just, it wasn't any fun. You know, food was great, and they had cigars and beer, but it was every play, they acted like Fritzy does when he's watching the Broncos. Get him!
Run hard. Come on.
Yeah.
Get out of bounds.
Come on. That's a penalty. But thank you, Dr. Fauci. If you need an excuse, then you got one to not go to a Super Bowl party.
Yes.
Yes, Paulie.
That said, if he would have told us all we should all go to Super Bowl parties, I'm still staying home alone. I don't care what anyone tells me.
Every week, writer-comedian Amber Ruffin responds to news of the day in a way that only she can. Catch the new episodes of The Amber Ruffin Show every Friday, streaming exclusively on Peacock. A couple of phone calls here. Jonathan in Florida joining us on the program. Jonathan, welcome.
What up, DP?
Hey, bud.
Hey, happy me Friday, you and the fellas. Just take my daughter out for a walk on a beautiful 60-degree weather day in Tampa Bay area. Friday before the Super Bowl, just want to let you,
Jonathan. We get it. It's nicer there than it is here. We survived a nor'easter.
Traegers and stuff, though. So you doing too bad.
You know what? Call me in August, Jonathan. Let me know how it feels in Tampa. All right.
Oh yeah, it's not going to feel too good. But no, I just want to let you know how it became a DC United fan. No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to piggyback off what McLovin was talking about, just how LeBron just elevates everybody in Brady. Like, he was talking about KCP. But I liken it when he was in Miami and Norris Cole and Mario Chalmers. You know, they're pretty big-time contributors. And, you know, after LeBron left, he didn't really hear anything about them.
Well, you know, what's interesting about Tom Brady is he's LeBron James and Michael Jordan. And I know that's going to shock you here, but if you look at his career, it's very similar to LeBron's in that he has been in 9 Super Bowls. This will be his 10th. Half of his career, almost half his career, he's been in the game. LeBron, same way. Now, Brady's won 6 Super Bowls. That matches Michael Jordan. Michael has 6 NBA titles. He went 6. He won all 6. Tom has 6. And, of course, he's got 3 losses. But with LeBron, it's very similar that he got there, and even getting there and he lost 3 times, he still won 6 of those Super Bowls. But if you look at, you know, Michael Jordan was, he had 6 NBA titles in 13 years. With the Chicago Bulls, he had, so 6 times he won the title, the other 7 years, he didn't get to the NBA Finals. Although 6 of his last 7, he won the NBA title. But we're nitpicking there. But, you know, I see Brady and LeBron as far as what they're, and I'm not talking about athletes. I'm not talking, you know, LeBron has been the best player. I'm just looking at the resume. When it's all said and done, I think LeBron will be the greatest basketball player of all time because we'll look at his resume. Start to finish, complete resume, better than anybody who's ever played the game. But if Michael Jordan was, let's say he won 6 and he lost 3, would we look at LeBron differently? What if Joe Montana won 4, lost 3? So he'd gone to 7. 4-0 looks better than 4-3. But I will argue to the contrary. The only way you can win it is if you're in it. And I have to give you credit that you got there. Brady couldn't have done any more than he did against the Eagles. He threw for 500 yards. I mean, when you think about it, Brady could be 9-0, but Joe Montana can't be. He can only be 4-0. Michael Jordan is 6-0. LeBron could be 10-0. And I think a lot of times we look at that quarterback who loses the Super Bowl, and that's a negative. I think that hurt a lot of the Buffalo Bills for a long time, the Minnesota Vikings for a long time. They lost Super Bowls. Even players who played on those Broncos teams that got blown out in the Super Bowl. Somehow when you lost, you went down to the bottom of the totem pole, and it wasn't fair to those players to do what they did, and as many times as they got there. Nobody's going to go 4 consecutive times like the Buffalo Bills, I don't think. And maybe Kansas City does, but I'm just saying they went 4 times and lost 4 times. But I still love what Joe Montana said to Jim Kelly. The Chiefs lost to the Bills, and then Joe told Jim Kelly, why don't you let us go? Because we know you guys are going to lose. That's a good shot there by him. Only Montana could say that to Jim Kelly. Hey, Jim, why don't you let us go? Because you guys are going to lose. That's pretty good.
That's just brutal.
Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Dan? A little pissed at Teddy Bruschi calling Matt Stafford saying he's not tough enough. Oh, now Matt Stafford threw a touchdown with a separated shoulder, and if you look at the video, you could clearly hear it. Along with that, I'm a big fan of Chaz. Can't wait till the 12:15 podcast. I would love to smoke some meat with that guy. You know what? Hold on. Let me stop. Because between me smoking meat and Paulie's Hot Pole, I guess, double entendre, isn't just the name of a stage name of a lady in Las Vegas, I tell you. Listen, I got a question for you. Seriously. If Patrick Mahomes ends up defeating Tom Brady, does that reshuffle the deck? Because so often we put Aaron Rodgers number two. I honestly believe with him losing this year, it did a lot worse for his career by just losing this one, because he should have had a second Super Bowl, or at least getting to the big game up under his belt. Now they're going to say, you know, this guy's second year in the league, or third year in the league, second Super Bowl win. You know, does that reshuffle the deck in your eyes?
I thought that Aaron Rodgers had the most to gain. Thank you, Jeff. Great to hear from you. Have a good weekend. By winning another Super Bowl. Because if you have two, it puts you in a different category. Just like Andy Reid. If Andy Reid wins another Super Bowl, now you're in a different category. Belichick is up here, and Chuck Knoll is up here. But all of a sudden, if you start to put yourself in there with two, you move up, just like we look at Drew Brees. If he had won, he would have moved up. You know, Peyton got his second. He moved up a little bit there. Aaron Rodgers had the most to gain because Brady's, you know, he's the GOAT. Then we wait 10 years and we see where Mahomes is when it's all said and done. But Aaron Rodgers is a contemporary of Tom Brady. You know, what is he, 37? How many more opportunities is he going to get? And he realizes that one slipped right through his hands. But imagine if Aaron Rodgers is playing in this Super Bowl and what he could gain by winning MVP, beating Patrick Mahomes as well. If Brady does it, I don't think we're going to be shocked. But I do think we add one more, whatever it is, to Tom's resume. Another brick to the wall, because he's sitting up higher than everybody else. We'll talk to Tony Dungy. He'll join us coming up. We also want to talk about the NBA with the All-Star game. Sounds like the NBA wants to have an All-Star game, but the All-Stars don't want to have an All-Star game. Have that for you coming up as well. We'll take a break, 18 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. Come into the studio every morning, and I hit the ground running. I need to hit the ground running. Got to have energy, and that's why I take a daily supplement. It's called M-Drive. And I've never done this before. I never promoted any of this before. I was looking for something that actually worked, and M-Drive has helped me. And they have a variety of things on their website, mdrivedan.com today. And it's just, it helps you each day if you want to work out. You just want to be smarter. You want to be energetic. If you're an athlete, you're competitive. And it's not somebody who is my age. It can be for anybody. Powerful ingredients backed by science. You get energized, stronger, leaner, and it works. You want to be the best. If you feel sluggish in the morning, gaining weight, losing your drive, try M-Drive for yourself, the everyday supplement for guys with drive. Get M-Drive. You can get it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, or go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond, from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, to their five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. He's the Hall of Fame coach, Football Night in America analyst, won a Super Bowl as head coach of the Colts, won a Super Bowl as a player with the Steelers. You know what? Let me start there, Tony Dungy. Give me the Steeler defender who made you nervous. He scared you.
The Steeler defender who made me or other people nervous?
Well, both.
Well, two. I'll have to start with two. Ernie Holmes was the one who made everybody else nervous. He was a great player. He was not a real stable person. And when he turned it on, he could dominate a game. Now, the guy who made me nervous was Jack Lambert. The very first, my rookie year, Lambert was holding out. So we're in the fourth preseason game. He's coming back. First time I met him, first time I'm in the huddle in practice. And he looks at me and he gives me the call. We break the huddle. He said, now, you know, when we play on Saturday, I won't have my tea then. So you may not be able to understand it. If you can't understand me, tap me on the shoulder and I'll give you the hand signal. And I'm thinking, what? You won't have your tea then? But he was a mess. That we had some characters on that defense. Now.
But, you know, the Raiders are given credit for having those personalities. Did Pittsburgh have it? They just didn't flaunt it the way the Raiders did?
That's exactly right. Coach Knoll was great. He didn't, you know, he didn't sterilize the group. But he said, you've got to be yourself. But on the field, off the field, we've got to have a little bit of discipline. And so we had some guys. I mean, Joe Green wasn't named Mean Joe Green for nothing. Jack was crazy. Ernie Holmes was different. Dwight White was very different. Mel Blount. We had some tough guys, and they had some different personalities. Frenchie Fuqua, maybe the most flamboyant guy in the league.
Okay, did he have shoes that had goldfish in the heel? Like he had glass bottom shoes?
The goldfish were gone by the time I got there. I read about that. I never saw them, but I did see him come in on a Friday morning for practice, just in shorts and T-shirt and flip-flops, and he had a garment bag over his shoulder. After practice, he was going out on Friday night, and it was a tuxedo outfit, matching cape, matching cane, matching hat. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But that was a crew. It was a group.
Give me a Mean Joe Green story.
Joe used to tell us, he used to get very mad at guys who got personal foul penalties for retaliation. So you can't let a guy get to you like that. There's ways you can retaliate. You have to keep yourself under control and retaliate while the play is going somewhere down the line. You can't fight during, you know, when the clock is stopped or when the officials are looking. And we're out in Denver, and Denver had an offensive guard named Paul Howard who Joe thought was holding him. He turned around to the umpire right behind him and gave the best line I've ever heard. He said, if you don't stop this guy from holding me, you're going to go to jail because I'm going to kill him and you're going to go as accessory to a murder. And then he proceeded. Two plays later, he hit Paul Howard in the stomach with a body punch that knocked him out during the play. And I think he got fined afterwards, but never penalized for it.
But when he did the Mean Joe Green Coca-Cola commercial, what that changed everything, it felt like.
Lambert was so mad at him after that. He said, you're done. You're through. We have no more of the real Joe Green. We've got this fake Joe Green now, and I don't know if we can win another Super Bowl.
I mean, we didn't even talk about the offense here, Tony, because he had Terry Bradshaw. He joins us next hour. But, I mean, Terry was a little wacky. He was not as wacky as he is now. Or was it? Was he wacky then?
No, he was. He would do the interviews after the game. And back then there were different stations and they would come to you one at a time. And he'd laugh. He'd say, I'm going to tell them something different every single one. So they'd, well, tell me about this touchdown pass to Swan. And he'd tell Channel 7, well, I came up with that play. And I did this and tell a whole long two-minute story. And then Channel 9 would come and he'd say, yeah, Star Wars suggested that play. And I would think to myself, don't you realize all of these are going to eventually be shown? And it's going to, you know, seem like you don't know what you're doing. But he was so funny. One of my best Terry Bradshaw memories, you have to ask him about it. Back in the day, we used to have a payphone only at the end of the hallway in the dorm. You know, there was no cell phones or that. So you had to wait in line for the payphone. Bradshaw was on the phone one night with a whole line of people waiting on the phone. He's on there for 2 hours buying a horse on the on the phone that he had never seen before. Somebody's describing it to him. And how much should I pay for this horse? And is it fast? And is he going to win the Kentucky Derby? And we're all sitting there. Hey, I got to talk to my girlfriend. I got to talk to my wife. And he's buying a horse.
We're talking
on the phone.
Talking to Tony Dungy, the Hall of Famer, Football Night in America analyst. Right, I'm going to make you the defensive coordinator for the Buccaneers. You're Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
What do you want the Chiefs to do?
I want them to have to throw 10 passes on a drive to score. I don't want to see the 75-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill. I don't want to see the 40-yard pass to Travis Kelce. Now, I think I've got a little edge in this game that I didn't have in the last game because last time we played them, now they don't have their left tackle. And that DP, that's a critical injury because what Kansas City has to do. That really hurts them at three positions. Now the right tackle has moved over to left tackle. He's not as good as Fisher. Okay, the right guard had to move to right tackle. He's not as good as the right tackle. And then the backup right guard is in. So they're weaker at three positions in the offensive line. So I'm telling all my guys, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, and Ndamukong Suh, Golston, you guys have to win the game. We can't blitz and leave our guys one-on-one. You guys have to beat this banged-up offensive line and put some pressure on Mahomes. That's how we're going to win the game.
All right, you're Steve Spagnuolo. Now what are you going to do as the defensive coordinator with the Chiefs? What do you want the Buccaneers to do?
Got to pressure Tom Brady up inside, and we've got to cover tight, not let him throw the ball quick and get rid of it. Rodney Harrison has been beside me for 12 years telling me that's how you have to play Tom. You got to pressure him. You got to bang the receiver so he can't throw it quick. So that means Chris Jones, you got to have a big game, pass rushing inside. We may send some blitzes inside, defenders, a lot of bump and run coverage. We might be even okay if they throw one deep ball, but we're not going to let Tom just get in that rhythm of 8 or 10 balls in a row, just short, quick, get it out of his hand. We've got to pressure him.
I was also wondering about this, that, you know, we talk about quarterbacks and sometimes we'll say, boy, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback. But here's Brady, who is not the most talented. It's not like he's slowing down because he was never fast enough to slow down. He still does what he's been doing for a long time, but can you teach pocket presence?
Not really. You either have it or you don't. He has it. Mahomes has great pocket presence and can move around and feel people around him. Tom does the same thing. He can see people around him, feel people around him, and still keep his eyes down the field. He knows when he's got to get rid of the ball. He's great. And he, if you have him on rhythm, he's as good as anybody who's ever played. And now he's got probably a better receiving core than he's had since that 2007 group with Randy Moss and Welker. I mean, he's got some talented guys. So what he's done this year, without the benefit of the timing and all the offseason program and everything, it's pretty amazing.
Andy Reid, if he wins another Super Bowl, does that change things in how he's viewed? It pretty much, he might be a Hall of Famer now, I'm guessing, Tone.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. If he wins this Super Bowl, I think he's a lock. How many people have won back-to-back Super Bowls? Not that many. How many people have taken two different franchises to the Super Bowl? Not that many coaches. How many people have done it for this long a period of time? And this offense that he's put together over the last, if he goes five more years with Patrick Mahomes, they'll put up numbers that we have never seen before. So, yeah, I think he's a lock for the Hall of Fame, but this would solidify it.
And you knew this. You were a college quarterback, and it's something we've talked about before. But, you know, when we profiled black quarterbacks coming out of college to go into the NFL, Warren Moon threw as good a deep ball as anybody who's ever played the game, in my opinion. And he wasn't this scrambling quarterback, but he had to go to the Canadian Football League. And I don't know if Lamar Jackson has helped in the profile or Patrick Mahomes has helped in profiling, and maybe profiling is the wrong word here, but it feels like maybe reverse profiling here. Who do you think has helped that position with African-Americans more as we move forward, what Lamar has done or Mahomes?
No, I think the guy who really has done the most for it is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson comes in 6 foot tall, not the big, powerful, you know, prototypical quarterback. He moves around, he scrambles, he makes what we call off-schedule plays, and he did that and took a team to a Super Bowl. And so, yeah, Doug Williams took a team to a Super Bowl, but he's 6'4", 220, rocket arm, pocket passer. This is what we're looking for. But now here's Russell going with a completely different direction and taking the team to a Super Bowl. And I think that's what let some scouts and maybe even some coaches say, you know what, if I design some things and do what these guys can do, I can present some problems. And now you see Russell Wilson followed by Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray. And defenses saying, wow, now I've got to design some specific things. I can't play all the coverages that I normally play because Lamar Jackson can take off and run 75 yards if I'm in man coverage and nobody's spying him, and giving defenses different problems. So I think it's been great to see how these guys are being utilized. And so that has not only African-American quarterbacks, but Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen's now we're seeing these type of day.
And it's always interesting when you talk to defensive players. If you know, the frustrating part is Brady's right there, Frank Clark says he might just dip his shoulder a little bit, but that's even more frustrating. It feels like he's right there, and I might not be able to do anything about it. Whereas, Russell or Kyler or these guys who can get out of Mahomes, Josh Allen, I don't know what would be more frustrating. I would think that, the mobile guy puts more pressure on you. But as a defender, that guy's, 3 feet away from me and I can't get to him.
Tom, is probably more frustrating for those defensive linemen because of just what you're saying. I'm close. I'm thinking I'm getting pressure. And here the ball comes out and it's an 18-yard completion. But I'll tell you, for the coach, the John Elway, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, you do everything right. You defend the play and you've got him squeezed in the pocket. Everybody's covered. Should be a win for the defense. And now he moves around and Mahomes throws 55 yards across field to DeMarcus Robinson. And you say, what am I going to do? And that's the frustration. John Elway used to drive me nuts. I was coaching secondary for the Chiefs and we got plaster guys back there, Kevin Ross and Albert Lewis. And we're on guys for 8-9 seconds. And then all of a sudden he scrambles out and throws one across the field, 55 yards to the tight end. And it's crazy. And you say, what are we going to do? It's just, he was impossible to defend.
Do you have a team you're picking here? Do you have to pick Tampa because you live in Tampa?
No, I tell you what, I'm really concerned and worried. I don't know who's going to play still. I don't know who's going to get a haircut and not be able to play in the game. That is crazy that we still don't know exactly who's going to be out there. I'm worried about the Kansas City offensive line. I think if all things were equal, everybody's healthy, I would pick the Chiefs. But I think this line could get overmatched and it could present some problems.
Yeah, I'm there with you. I think that this game will be won by, your offensive line and your defensive line and who's able to protect and who can put pressure there. Did Brady's success put more pressure on Peyton Manning to be successful? Because a lot of times you guys would match up in the playoffs. Like, I didn't know if Peyton compared himself to Tom or everything he did was measured against Tom, and here's Tom going to more Super Bowls and what that did.
No,
to Peyton.
I don't think it was that, but we did know we were going to have to beat the Patriots. That was said. So you start focusing in on them. What are we going to have to do to win these matchups? And we all wanted to go to Super Bowls, and I know Peyton wanted to go to more than Tom did, but to do that, we're going to have to beat the Patriots. So that was always our focus coming into the season.
Do you know Brady better than Belichick? Or either one?
I don't know either one really well. Tom, though, really fascinating. I sent him a text when he came here. I said, it's going to be hard to root for you, but you're home team now, and so I'm going to have to. He sent me a text back. And then I think Shannon Sharp talked about how I ranked the quarterbacks 5 years ago or something. So that brought up a little animosity, I guess. But then I sent Tom a text of my son Jordan, who wanted a Brady hoodie for Christmas. And I got it for him, and I sent the picture to Tom, and he laughed, and he sent Jordan an autographed jersey and, just notes to my boys. So it's been really good. It's been nice seeing him do well and have fun here in Tampa.
Wait, how did you rank these quarterbacks that it bothered Tom?
I had him at number 6. I started out with the premise, Dan, that – first of all, you can't rank them by who's the best. It's impossible to rank. My dad would say Otto Graham's the best ever, and I couldn't argue with that. How do I know between eras?
Yeah.
So I started out the piece with, I'm not going to go by who's the best. I'm going to tell you who was the most problematic for me personally preparing.
Okay.
And I started with John Elway because of just the story that I told you. And then Aaron Rodgers and Steve Young, the mobile guys who you could defend everything. And then Steve Young ran 75 yards through the whole Minnesota Vikings team, broke about 20 tackles, So I'm going to put those guys first. Now I'm going to go to my pocket passers. And, well, of course, everybody then, how can you have Tom Brady six? He won 55 Super Bowls. And I said, that wasn't the point of it. It wasn't who won the most Super Bowls, who was the best, who was the toughest to really handle.
The best pocket passer, in your opinion, of all time is who?
Again, it's still hard to say.
Modern era. Modern era. Just, they were known as a pocket passer. Is Peyton better than Tom as a pocket passer?
You know, I'm always going to go with Peyton because he was my quarterback. But I'll say this. There's some guys. Warren Moon, you talk about standing in the pocket and give somebody protection and watch the ball. Just be intimidated by how pretty the ball comes out and how on target it is. Jake, we had a receiver in Minnesota, Jake Reed, who they said didn't really have great hands. Jake caught 100 passes one year because every ball was between the 8 and the 6. He didn't have to use his hands at all. And so, you know, there's some guys who could throw some pretty balls. Randall Cunningham, it was a pretty pocket passer ball. Jeff George. So there's some guys that you wouldn't put in the top of the quarterback list. But if you said, hey, I can protect them and just watch him throw from the pocket, you'd put Jeff George with anybody.
He did throw a great deep ball, but problem is that maybe the guy on the receiving end wasn't always there.
Well, we're not talking about who he threw to, and if he threw to the other team, and if he knew where those guys were, but just pretty balls from the pocket.
Are you watching at home, or are you going to be at the stadium?
I may end up going to the game. I wanted to watch at home. My boys want to go to the game, so we're kind of fighting that battle right now, but probably going to end up at the game.
Great to see you. Tell the boys I said
always
hello.
Good.
And,
I will.
Thank you, Tone.
We got to get up and see you sometime. Got to get up.
When you guys are doing Football Night in America, if you you know, you want to come to the man cave, you know.
Post-COVID, we got to get there.
That would be great. Thank you, bud.
All right.
That's,
thanks, DP.
Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer. We'll take a break. Phone calls coming up. Terry Bradshaw will join us next hour. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Looking at some of the numbers with Andy Reid, he's got 238 wins. Regular season and postseason, that's fifth all time, taking two different teams to the Super Bowl. He trails Shula, Hollis, Belichick, and Landry for all-time wins. Only coach with at least 90 wins with multiple franchises. 17 postseason wins, tied fourth all-time. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But you add another Super Bowl there. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, it's last time to get in your thoughts on Calvin Johnson tomorrow. I think he's going to be a first ballot. They announce it tomorrow.
Who else is going in?
It's Peyton? Like Woodson, Peyton, and then it seems like the narrative is Calvin Johnson might be a first-timer. It's close, though. It's not like Peyton.
Yeah. All right. I mean, Calvin Johnson was a great talent, probably had 5 or 6 years where he was elite. And, yeah, sure. All right.
Maybe Bisselli. Maybe your guy.
I hope. And you know, people said, you know, what do you have? Why this love affair with Tony Bisselli? I only know what I saw when I saw it. That's all. You know, it's like Jimbo Cover. When I saw him, I thought that he was one of the best linemen that I had seen. And Tony Bisselli, even though injuries cut short, and I had been talking about Tony Bisselli for the Hall of Fame. I'd never met him before. And I hope he gets in. But if he doesn't, then you know what? We tried. I wrote a letter to the Hall of Fame and asked the Pro Football Writers to consider John Facenda. John Facenda, the voice of NFL films, should be in the Hall of Fame. Whether he gets in or not, I don't know John, never met him, don't know his family. I just know when I saw something, in this case heard something, he was the voice of the NFL, and he deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, Paul.
Wide receiver Calvin Johnson, 5 Pro Bowls, first time, 3 times he was all pro. Mm-hmm. Tony Bisselli, 5 Pro Bowls, 3 times he was all pro, both retired at the age 30. They have very similar resumes. For different reasons they retired. Bisselli had no choice.
Yeah, yeah. Calvin decided he didn't want to play anymore. But hey, if Calvin goes in, good for him. I mean, I don't know him, but if he goes in, I know he was a great player. DraftKings has some prop bets, McLovin. And yeah. I think it's fourth quarter related prop bets that I wanted to bring to the audience's attention.
These are really interesting, and I have no idea which way you go. For example, which team will score more points in the fourth quarter, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, or tie? Does that mean that the team that's winning will score more, or that it's like a three-touchdown game and there's garbage time? That's why it's such a hard bet.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You know, if let's say Kansas City's up by three touchdowns and hashtag Tom leads them down to a couple of touchdowns and they outscore them, you know, 14-3, then you would lose.
Here's a good one. Will the fourth quarter 2-minute warning happen at the 2-minute mark? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
Do you have data points on this one?
No, I don't have any data points.
Because are there people that track that kind of thing?
I'm going to guess there are.
Like right here, usually at a minute 58. That's the most common time for the 2-minute warning.
Will the 2-minute warning happen at the 2-minute warning? just even thinking that is pretty good.
Are we all putting in $10 on this one? I think it's either that or Paulie's Tom Brady running bet.
Paulie has the Tom Brady running. How many yards he rushes for? What is the over-under on Tom Brady rushing?
Oh, it's big this year, Dan. It's 0.5 yards for Tom Brady. So if the under is zero or negative.
I'm going under.
Taking the under.
Yeah.
Historically, Dan, you would have won 5 out of the last 9 bets on Brady's rushing if you'd taken the under.
All right.
Brady has had, in the Super Bowls, 3 yards, 12 yards, minus 1, 0, 0, minus 3. Tough run there. Plus 15, plus 6, minus 2 in the last Super Bowl. Both were kneel downs.
But the plus 15 was on one run, wasn't it?
All his pluses were on singular runs. He had a 15-yard run.
Were they designed runs for Tom Brady?
Not at all. I saw the one against the Falcons. He breaks about 11 yards, and it looks like his legs are going to go out from under him because he's in uncharted territories.
You know, it's like when you have the foal just born and, trying to stand up. You know, that's what Brady looks like sometimes when he's running. Yes, McLovin.
You can also bet on whether he will kneel down and at what mark in the fourth quarter, 44 seconds left or below, when the first kneel down will happen. Yeah, get your calculator out. We're going to win some money here.
DraftKings is giving up to $25,000 to everyone who enters their free big game prediction challenge and up to $55 million in total prizes. Head to DraftKings.com for information or the app and use the code Patrick when you sign up to get this great offer. Final hour coming up. Is Nick Wright, Kansas City Chiefs apologist, going to join us?
He sure will.
Oh, man, is he on fire. He's going to tell you, like, he doesn't think it's going to be close. He's going to tell you why the Chiefs are going to win by at least 2 touchdowns on Sunday. And Terry Bradshaw is going to join us. I don't know if I'm going to talk about the game. I got other things to talk to Terry Bradshaw about. By the way, the newsletter, make sure you sign up. DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. And it recaps the show. Enter your email address at danpatrick.com and put it in the box that slides out the bottom right-hand corner. Traeger folks, Chad and his assistant Julie have been awesome. They got here on Tuesday. They've been preparing. Had tacos day before. You had ribs yesterday, grouper yesterday. I don't know what they have, but they've been cooking since about 6 o'clock this morning. Traegers have been fired up there. All right, final hour coming up. Dan Patrick Show right after this. One more item, second hour. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. Yeah, see if your credit card's doing that. It's like getting one of those birthday cards shaped like cash. You already know there's cash inside before opening it up. And then in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, so you don't even have to send a thank you note. They've thought of everything. Cashback match only by Discover Card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.